Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for The Higher Dimensions. This evening, I don't have a guest. I couldn't get a guest for this evening, and I had wondered about why. And I'll tell you, I know when I signed off last week, I believe I'll let you know that I had a little Boston Terrier, Toby, who had cancer. And mouth cancer. And I had been taking care of him, and I had him 2 months longer than the vet thought I would. Because of his age, he was not a good candidate for surgery or chemotherapy or radiation. And the prognosis was 2 weeks to 2 months at the outside, and I had him, going on 5 months, so I was very, very blessed. But yesterday, when he got up, he hit the side of his face was swollen, so I took him to the vet, and he said we could have done something like steroids to bring down the swelling and stuff, but at this point, I know he was in pain. He was not eating very much. He hadn't lost much weight because I'd been giving him people food. I'd been giving him what's called a macro diet. I'd been giving him hospice care. And so at 12:45 yesterday, we put Toby down. And I took Sparky with me. Sparky is the other dog I have. My daughter rescued him from some kids across the street who had sort of stolen him from a litter and were dragging him up the street. And she just walked up to the children, boys who were her age and older, took the rope off his neck, picked him up and walked off and said, he's my dog now. The long and the short of it is he's been with us almost 16 years, and he and Toby were best buddies. And he's mourning, as am I, the loss. And I did take Sparky with me because I wanted him to be there and to understand that his little friend was leaving. And the last few days, he's been very, very caring toward Toby, kind of kissing him on the side of the face where the cancer was most prevalent, struggling against him, etc. And just a few minutes after Toby died, Sparky came over where I was sitting on the floor, and he kind of kissed Toby on the nose and mouth as a final goodbye. And I felt it was important that he saw Toby and knew he understood that Toby would not be coming back with us. And he has been mourning ever since. He wouldn't eat, even though I tempted him. I've had to sort of really, really get into temptation time. And he's been whining today. I finally persuaded him to eat tonight. But dogs do feel, and they do mourn. And they are our special, special pets. They give so much love. They give us unconditional love and unconditional caring. They read our moods, and they are our companions. And I am, again, concerned a little bit about Sparky because years ago, when he was brought into the house, we had another Boston Terrier named Pepper, and Pepper we had to put down when Sparky was about 2 years old. Now, Pepper was already here when Sparky came, but Pepper suffered from a type of epileptic seizure called rage seizures, and it's a neurological issue where they will suddenly go into rage and bite and not know it. It's just like falling down with an epileptic seizure, and we tried for well over a year with holistic medicine and foods, putting him on Prozac, and he was getting worse and biting the family, so we finally had to put him down reluctantly. And Sparky mourned for him for 6 months. And when Valentine's Day came around, as much for Sparky as for my mother, who adores Boston Terriers, I brought home little Toby. And I had stopped by the flower shop and got a little big red bow to put on him as he was to be a Valentine's Day present. And that bow was bigger than the dog. He was so sweet at 10 weeks old. And I will tell you, poor Sparky, who'd been mournful and not playing, had lost weight. In 2 or 3 days after little Toby came home, all of a sudden, Sparky came back to life, and they have been so close ever since. And so we are mourning, he and I, the passing of a very, very beloved pet. And I know many people make choices with their pets. If someone wants to share a story with me about their pet, that's fine. But also what happened was, and I have to laugh, because he had his last word, and I held him in my arms when the vet administered the injections, and I kind of had forgotten that when a creature dies, a human being or a pet dies, you know, the organs release and let go. And when I got up to put Toby up on the table, I suddenly realized that he had pooped and peed on me. I'm sorry. It was funny because I thought, oh, you little stinker, you had the last word. So as I said about cleaning up the floor and cleaning up me and then cleaning up him, I was reminded of what we have done in our culture before we had funeral homes and our families died mainly in hospitals and so forth. And then that is laying out of the body where the usually the women, I guess men help too, but usually the women would come in, family and friends, and would wash the body, bathe it, and prepare the body for burial and for the wake. And I was reminded of that as I was working with Toby yesterday after cleaning myself, and I was cleaning him off and just wiping, and I was thinking, here was the last act of love that I could give to this special little boy who had given me so much joy in his life. And I felt very blessed by that, and I still think it's funny that he did that. But when one of the clinic personnel came in, she said, oh, you know, are you okay? I said, yes. She said, did you bring an extra pair of pants? I thought, well, who thought it? You know, I didn't think about it. But at any rate, it was, in all events, a beautiful time, and a beautiful time was shared. And Sparky and I have been comforting each other today, and I am hoping that he's going to be okay, because it's just the two of us now. From a busy household of three just a little over a year ago, it's now down to four. There were four of us a year ago, and now they're down just the two of us. But at any rate, I'm willing to talk to people today. I've read some books. I can always chat. You know that. I can always chat and continue on and bring up loving, loving stories. And I'm certainly glad to give a reading or to do a reading of a past life, if you'd like that, or provide information. And if you'd like to share on anything or have questions, please feel free to call in. You do have the number. It's 1-877-876-5227. So, otherwise, I've had some really wonderful reading these last few days, and we're going to be having some wonderful guests on in the future. We're going to have someone who knew Betty and Barney Hill, the famous couple who were abducted and examined by aliens. It's 1956, I think, and I do remember that because I was a young girl at the time, and I do remember that being on TV and the hullabaloo. And I also recall seeing the headlines in the newspaper and also seeing UFOs over the Capitol, which is where I live in Washington, D.C., which were in the sky at that time. It was a great big deal. It was a very great activity, 1956, 1957, the summer time especially. And I found it very fascinating, and reading that book brought back memories of seeing things when I was younger. Something that I hadn't remembered, I can't tell you, since I guess it happened. And there are other stories and books coming out that are wonderful. We're having a near-death experience and talking to someone. PMH Atwater was on our show over a year ago, and I did a video with her, and I'm hoping to get that out. She was a wonderful guest and had, she died. And there's another person who's come out. And then there are some wonderful, wonderful guests coming again. I'm hoping to have Jeannie Page, who is an iridologist and who has Wise Woman Consultants in Virginia. And there are a number of things that we can talk about and go through. But part of this is in dealing with releasing a pet. It brought back memories of my mother when she died in my arms. and how blessed I felt to be with people and with pets who are passing. I had another also death incurred with someone I knew. And this was interesting. I had worked with another young lady here in the area, and she brought her sister, and then she brought her brother to visit, to see me, to do hypnotherapy and do stress management techniques for them. And the brother had suffered a stroke in his early 40s. He had been using crack cocaine. And as a result, he suffered that stroke. He was in his early 50s. It was just about almost 10 years now, 9 years since that time. And he came in about 2 weeks ago. And he's had failing heart. He and his wife had been having really serious problems. He wanted to leave and live on his own. And he's partially crippled, partially paralyzed. So it would be very hard for him to live on his own. And there was a lot of anger and a lot of tenseness. And when he got here, he did go into a hypnotic state. And I did do some regression for him, and especially for anger management and to release all the anger and the upset he's had. And then I did some jinjitsu on him when he was done, and he was able to walk better, and his muscles were not so tight after the jinjitsu, which is a lovely healing art that I can always give information on if someone wants to know. But it is a marvelous, marvelous art. She called me back this past Friday and said, Phyllis, I got to tell you, my brother wants to come back and see you again. I said, fine, no problem. She said, he played the tape you made for him so much that it broke. And I thought, well, gee, it shouldn't break within a two-week period, even if you played it, you know, several times a day. And she said, well, he played it 3 times a day. He really listened to it. And then it broke. And can we bring him next week? And I said, sure. And she said, and I need to tell you that the family has all remarked how his attitude has changed. He's no longer angry. He's no longer upset. He doesn't get in arguments. He's been joking. He's just like a different person. And I was thinking, well, isn't that wonderful, him, for when whatever I did, you know, I'm so glad it worked, whatever it was, because I had not set out that way. That was Friday. And then Sunday she called and said, Phyllis, my brother died last night. He had a heart attack. He had been taking Digitalis. He had trouble breathing. He took some medication, and then he just died. But we want you to know how much my brother enjoyed the tape, and some of the other members of his family, his wife and daughter, want to come see you, too, after the funeral and so forth. And I thought, well, you know, that's pretty darn wonderful. I really don't know what I did for this man. To be honest, I don't think I did it. Spirit had to do it, because I was totally unconscious of what was going on. But to know that the last week or so of his life, he and his family were able to talk together, to laugh together, to be happier, that was important. And maybe that was what was needed before he left. And sometimes Spirit uses us in ways we don't understand and cannot know at the time. And that, to me, was another gift that came and helped with this period of time. And there are so many memories that we have when we have special people and special pets who leave our life. I've always found my life to be richer for it, to understand. There's a dear friend of mine who lets me take care of her dog while a babysit while she goes on trips. And his name is Babe, and he is the cutest little Jack Russell Terrier. I adore my dogs. I think they're absolutely gorgeous. But he has a face that should be on TV and a personality. This little boy is so cute. And he just sits there and he'll look at you with this intelligent, will you explain to me what's happening? when she first brought him over last year, she just said she hadn't told him that she was going to go away for a while and he going to be staying with someone. She just flopped him over and went back to get her bags and stuff. And I had somebody here who was going to dog sit all three of our dogs. And he came and just sat up. They came up and he just sat in front of me. And he just stared at me. And I looked at him and I said, "What's your problem?" And he just sat there and stared at me. And I, honest to goodness, I think this dog talked to me. Because I explained to him what was happening. That he, you know, the whole nine yards, how long he'd be staying there, where we were going. You know, his mom would come back for him. He'd be there visiting. And we were glad to have him. And meanwhile, the person who's dog sitting is looking at me as though I've lost, totally lost my mind. But when I finished, I said, "Now, do you have any other questions?" And he just looked at me, and he kind of shook his head and got up and walked off, and I thought the gal was going to die right there in front of me. She could not believe that dog. And this last time he came, a couple of weeks ago, he sat down in front of me, and I explained to him again. I said, "Charlotte, did you tell this dog why he was coming here?" He said, "Oh, yeah, this time I did." And I said, "Well, apparently he wanted a backup to your story because he's sitting here talking to me again." So anyway, I'm looking forward to bringing him in tomorrow, and while Toby won't be here, I think he and Sparky will get along, and we'll go for a nice long walk in the park and have a lot of fun. But it's nice to welcome other pets in, and Babe is so cute. I do wish she had thought to put him into TV because he would have made her a fortune. This is a beautiful night here, and I am so blessed with all that I have and with all that I have received in my life, both from humans and from pets. And it's a wonderful world. It truly is. Toby had a really neat sense of humor. And when he was younger, we were all at home, and my daughter at the time had a lot of guy friends, and she was on the cheerleading squad. So they were all out in the backyard having fun, and they formed one of those pyramids. And Katie had run up and was at the top of the pyramid, and they were all cheering and having fun. And she was wearing a couple of terry cloth sweatpants that she had. She and a friend of mine, a lawyer, who was visiting from New York, had kind of argued over in the store. Katie won the bet. You know, they won the tug of war, and so she was wearing the pants, and she was having fun. So she pops down again, and they're laughing and talking, and all of a sudden, Toby comes up. He sniffs everybody. He goes over to Katie, sniffs her, lifts his leg, and pees on the pants. Well, I just about died. Talk about marking your territory. The kids just roared. They were falling down. And my dear friend Kevin was laughing so hard. When he stopped laughing, he said, "By the way, Katie, you know those pants you have on? Don't bother. You can keep them. I don't want them back anymore." It was really a bit much. And it was one of the funniest things I have ever seen, because the way Toby did it was with such nonchalance and with such an air of elegance. And in that instance, he kind of reminded me of Charles Boyer. I don't know however else to put it, but he was that elegant about what he did. And it was just so neatly done. And there are other times when he had done some funny things, but, you know, that was another time and place. I hope that you all will call. As I said, I'd be more than happy to do some readings tonight, or to provide information and discuss things with you, or even if you want to share about your pets or the loss of someone in your life. There are often instances when we suffer a loss that other things begin to come to the fore. Very often, if we become more aware, we find the gift of an extended awareness, or an expanded awareness, or new opportunity, just a special, extraordinary insight. Something usually comes in to comfort us. And I believe this is the time when our angels do come close to us. While they don't know, because they don't have the chemical reactions of emotions that we do on this earth, they do understand and send their love to help us through these times. And that is a special awareness that sometimes one feels when we suffer a loss in our life. And the same with near-death experiences. Not always do people experience an increase in psychic abilities or a sudden understanding of infinity and that life continues on. But most people do. In the instance of near-death experiences and in the instance of actual loss, there is always a blessing that comes in to show that there is a continuity of life and love beyond the current level. I know that I often feel my Penny, my little bulldog, who died last year. There are times I can almost see her hogging the front seat of the car on the passenger side or getting down on the front floor and just lying there. And there were times when I can feel my mother close, and it's as though she's there and I can talk to her. And I felt Sparky to Toby today beside me and know that he is happy that he's been released because the body was in pain. The near-death experiences are especially important for soul's growth, and the great spiritual insights that we receive and the emotional understanding, the experience, lasts with us, I am sure, more than through just one lifetime, because it is usually a lesson that we can use with us as we move from one lifetime to the next and carry it as an aspect of our soul's growth. There are many questions that people say in this matter. I remember once reading, someone wanted to know, how much does a soul weigh? And I'm going to have to guess and ask if it was a man who thought about that, because, and I found out it was, because most women wouldn't think about that, but they did weighing people before they died and immediately after death, and I think they found a few ounces, 3 or 4 ounces, maybe as much as 8 ounces, something like that. But it was a very small amount, and it was pretty consistent on those that they had the opportunity to weigh just before death and just after death, that there was they all bodies weighed a few ounces less than the person did when they were alive. And that's interesting, because it was my feeling that when you have what's called a dead weight or a body that's dead, that it feels heavier than when the soul was alive. You know, I've hefted things, you know, dogs that were squirming and moving around. Let me tell you, they weighed a ton and a half. But after death, they felt even heavier. So to find that there is actually a difference in weight was really, really interesting to me. And that's apropos of nothing, but I thought that was an interesting comment. And there were other questions that I think have been asked. Where does the soul go? Like heaven is some place, a geographic location, and it isn't. I think it is a matter of, and this is my understanding, that there is not a physical heaven. There is another dimension where everything is of spirit, and that we create heaven with our thoughts, with our desires, and with our activities. And part of the reason it's so important to guide one's thoughts and to guide one's habits, especially when we're alone, is because we are creating, very, very importantly, what we are going to be moving to by our habits and thoughts. And that's why so many books that I have read, including the teachings and the wisdom and teachings of the Masters of Far East by Barrett Spalding. The latest book I've been reading is hopefully a future guest, Sail Into Your Dreams by Karen Meringer. And a number of other books, Cryon, for example, the series of Cryon. All of them point to watching our thoughts and to releasing any negative thoughts or reliving or fantasizing or visualizing or imagining scenarios where there's anger, where there's chaos, where there is vengeance, where there's anything. Because with our very thoughts, we do create what we are going to move into, not only in our physical lives, but particularly in our spiritual lives. And the injunction is to watch our thoughts and create positive aspects. Send love. If you can't do anything else, just simply send love in your thought processes. And it's kind of difficult to do sometimes because you meet stuff in life that you kind of like just grab somebody and shake them by the ears because they irritate you, or you run into a series of events that just frustrate the heck out of you and you want to vent. And I have to say, yes, now and again it's okay to just, you know, blow your cork, you know, get angry and then let go of it. It's the keeping on to the anger and musing and turning it over and over and holding it and nursing it and raising it, so to speak, that causes the problems in our life. So it's far easier to start now and recreate, because what you bring with you as you cross over is what you're really going to meet. And that has been something that I have been running through my daily life lately, and to anything that would be perceived as negative or feeling down about, just sending it with the words of surrounding and feeling pure God love, and sending that to the thought, or replacing those words, pure God love, and feeling that I'm sending it with my heart and with my mind. And with a little practice, it becomes as though whatever I was thinking suddenly becomes suffused with this golden light, and the negative thought is gone. And it works well with anger. It works well with hurt. It works well with pain, if we can use those words. And they're not new with me. They're what I picked out of the book, which I'm rereading again, the series of books by Barrett Spalding. There is some phenomenal, phenomenal information in there that is literally life-changing and life-altering. And again, I'll give you that, and that's the wisdom, the teachings and the wisdom of the Masters of the Far East by Baird, that's B-A-I-R-D, Spalding, S-P-A-L-D-I-N-G. Fantastic book. If you haven't read it before, do read it. It's 5 small, slim volumes. I got mine through the ARE, or you could get them through the Heritage Bookstore, which is in Virginia Beach, or the ARE, the Association of Research and Enlightenment. They also have had them. And the small volumes, they're just fabulous. I can't recommend it highly enough. And there are a number of other books that I've gotten that I have read, and they all are consistently saying the same thing. Whatever you have that is causing distress or upset in your life, send it love, and you will find things changing for you. It's fabulous. It's almost like having a magic wand, or wiggling your nose, or sprinkling Tinkerbell fairy dust, got that backwards, into the air. And as I said, I'd love to have someone call in and talk if they would like, or have reminiscences about working with their pets or working through their sorrow, or just sharing a story. I have a young lady called Mary Ellen. I think she's on with Atira from time to time, Mary Ellen, the angel scribe lady. And she has had pictures showing that she has cats who swim, her Persian swim. I think it's just absolutely fabulous. It's such a fun thing to do. And she's just so proud of those, so proud of those little wonderful things. And at any rate, there isn't much more that I can say about my little Toby except that I will miss him. I know that he will be around me, as he already is. I know that I cannot replace him, just as you can't replace some dear friends that have gone on. There are some wonderful new things that I think we should look for from BBS Radio. I understand from Don Newsom, the owner, that we should be informed there are some really wonderful happenings and events that are going to take place with BBS Radio, and he's going to announce those later on, that will impact the hosts and so forth and help bring us more into the mainstream. And that's all I can tell you about it at the moment, is that it is a wonderful gift, and it shows that Spirit is working with he and with all of us to help us bring the words of wisdom and enlightenment and love and knowledge and caring to the rest of the world. It's such a new beginning, such a new horizon, the changes that are coming. Yes, there are some that can be negative, and I see a lot of things that dwell on the negative. And again, there are two sides to every story. Negative has to burn itself out. And so those that are in a chaotic situation, and those who retain thoughts and habits that are no longer working, that are outworn and outdated, will continue to clash and destroy each other because they are based on illusion and delusion. They are based on that which is not of harmony and peace and selflessness, but and all that is saying that not everybody is perfect, and we're certainly not going to become a nation of saints overnight. But then if everybody was really good and a saint, we'd kind of be bored. So it's nice to have some people who are just like normal. But a lot of the negativity, a lot of the fighting that we see, a lot of suffering we see, is energy attracting like energy and sort of burning itself off, like fire feeding on that which is ready to go. And the opposite is true, in that the peace that is coming from within, the love that people show each other and share and give to each other, is also coming to the fore. And more people are saying they have had enough of the chaos, they've had enough of the conflict, enough of the negative, and they are heading for peace and tranquility, and it begins within each and every one of us. And that is the wonderful gift that I think that we are receiving from all corners of the world and from many, many wonderful leaders, writers, healers, psychics, Reiki masters. All of this is about bringing peace from within to radiate out and show and help others. And I think it's about time. I mean, how many thousands of years have we been stuck in this little whirlpool where we keep going around and around and trying to grab onto something to pull ourselves ashore, and that we are finally reaching this time where we can indeed pull ourselves up, where we can indeed see beyond the veil. So many people that I have met and just start talking to tell me these marvelous stories, stories that they say they would never tell someone, they never thought they would, and yet we find ourselves chatting on intuitive flashes they've had, a visit from someone who has passed, who has given a warning or given them assurance of peace or has provided advice to someone. It's really fabulous. I have a very, very dear friend who has some children, and one in concern. One is he's very, very concerned with. And his sister went on a golfing trip. And, yes, good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Welcome to the Higher Dimension.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Who is this?
This is Kim from Louisiana.
Hi. Oh, how are you?
Hanging in, thank you.
How's it going? You're from Louisiana?
Yeah.
What part?
I have called you a couple times. I'm calling tonight because I was hoping you could send some healing energy to my son.
Be delighted to, darling.
Yeah.
What's your son's name?
John Michael.
John Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's how old?
He's going to be 8 in October.
Okay. All righty. Is this something he was born with or he's contracted?
I believe he's contracted it.
Okay. We can do that. That's not an issue. Have you ever heard of the Jinshin Jitsu? They have... I will be delighted to send healing energy. That's not an issue, okay? But if there's a practitioner in Louisiana and you can get him to one, that is a wonderful healing art that does absolute wonders with the human body. Have you ever heard of Jinshin Jitsu before?
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I don't know exactly what the practice is. I'm a Reiki, too, and so I do Reiki on him, but...
Absolutely. Well, Jinshin Jitsu, if I had to express it in a way you'd understand it, it's a cross between acupressure and Reiki.
Okay. Gotcha.
It uses energy, but it also touches. It's
gotcha.
Also a touch. You can go as close as 3 inches to the body.
Okay.
What specifically does he need? What area?
It might be allergies. It might be... I've had a couple psychics tell me that whatever it is, it's throughout all of his body right now.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like a major infection that it's causing him night sweats and stuff. And
okay.
The doctor thought for 15 minutes yesterday it was pneumonia and then said no, it wasn't. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. Has he been eating a lot of sweets?
Yeah, he has been.
Okay. He may have candida, and that can mimic a number of illnesses.
Okay.
Okay. Had he been on antibiotics?
Yeah, he has been.
How recently?
It was a while ago, but I did maybe some acidophilus, but not a lot.
Okay. Yogurt, can he have yogurt now? Without the fruit sugary part.
Yeah.
But he can have yogurt, like lemon or vanilla yogurt.
Okay.
And he should get back on the acidophilus because it sounds to me as though what he's having is going through his organs.
Okay.
And that needs to be cleared. Cleansing would be very good. Jinshin Jitsu is fabulous for this type of thing. It sounds to me as though he needs it in the four steps, which is the vascular system, okay, and lymphatic systems.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The Jinshin Jitsu can be looked up on the web. It's Jinshin Jitsu. Okay? There in Scottsdale, Arizona, they have a list of all practitioners. And, you can ask if there's someone in your neck of the woods. I'll try and do some of this long distance, okay?
Great. Thank you so much.
And I'll work on it, and I'll ask someone else to work with me on him.
Thank
and
you
verify
much.
That's what it is, and we will send that healing to him, okay?
Thank you so much.
And that'll be tomorrow. I'll do some tonight, but I'll do that tomorrow. But my feeling is, yeah, he is going to come through this and be okay.
Oh, yeah, I know he is.
He's going to be fine.
Yeah, I have that knowing, too, but it, yeah.
Hard to watch to go through, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. I know. I've had children, too, so,
yeah.
I do understand, Kim.
Yeah.
But he's going to be okay. Right now, as I said, my feeling is it is something like that. They have not put him back on antibiotics yet?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay. Have him drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
Okay. Distilled water.
Okay.
Right at the moment. All right. A flushing of the system would be okay.
Yeah.
Especially if he's sweating, he might get dehydrated.
Oh, yeah, he's sweating a lot.
Okay. So So that's good because the skin is trying to flush the toxins out, you see.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's a good thing. So, you know, definitely work with him on that. Also, clarified beef broth for protein.
Yeah.
You know how to make beef broth from beef itself, right?
Well.
Just buy a nice, it doesn't matter, chuck or something like that, boil it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you could add veggies to it, like onions, which has iron, and some parsley and so forth. And let him have that as a something to drink, okay?
Okay.
That will help him. Also, you could do the same with chicken and make it yourself rather than buying it, canned. And that would be very, very good. With the chicken, you can add onion, celery, parsley, and carrots, and have him drink the broth. Again, that's electrolytes. This is all going to be good for him, protein, and will help his body.
Okay.
And it won't be a stress on his system.
Right.
Okay?
Great.
If you call me tomorrow, I will check with both my friend who's a Jinshin Jitsu artist and another lady and get you their input on maybe some herbs to take.
Okay.
Nothing that would harm him.
Right.
Okay? Or some other dietary foods to be of assistance to him to help support his system at this time. But it sounds to me with a sweat that his body is working to throw off the toxins.
Yeah.
It sounds fabulous. Is he? Okay. That sounds good.
Good.
Have you had him try, is he having a, I don't mean to embarrass you, but is he voiding properly?
Yeah, he seems to be.
Okay.
Although he does complain of a stomach ache.
Stomach ache. Okay. Hold the thumb. Okay, and a fist. Make a fist like you're going to hit somebody.
Yeah.
And see how your thumb wraps around your knuckles?
Yeah.
Okay, just open that fist a little bit. Just hold his thumbs.
Okay.
Okay, and he can do the same. Just hold it for about a minute. That should help with the stomach issue.
Great. That's
okay.
Really interesting because I had a dream about hands and fingers the other night.
Oh.
That's really interesting.
Well, that's Jinshin Jitsu.
Okay.
Especially if it's a stomach issue.
Yes.
That works especially, it's good for heartburn, by the way.
Great.
And for indigestion. Somebody eats too much and they hold their thumbs. You don't have to buy Tums. You don't have to buy this other stuff. Just hold your thumbs like that in a fist.
Great.
And it takes it away in about a minute. It's
great.
Fabulous.
Thank you so much, Phyllis.
Okay, the other thing he can do is hold each of his fingers the same way with a fist. Do one hand first and then the other, but just hold each finger for 1 minute.
Okay.
Okay? And it's not a tight fist and there's no pulling or anything else, and you can do it for him.
Mm-hmm.
Just gently hold each one for about a minute and do it a couple times a day, and I think you're going to see a good improvement. I really have a feeling he's going to come around within the next day or two, 24 to 48 hours.
Great. Thank
okay.
you so much, Phyllis.
Do you have my number to call?
I guess you'll have to give it to me.
Okay. It's area code 202.
Mm-hmm.
387.
Mm-hmm.
2080.
2080.
Yeah.
Thank
and
you so much, Phyllis.
You're welcome, and I will have that information available for you tomorrow morning.
Have a blessed evening. I've been listening tonight, and it's been not only enlightening but entertaining.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I think I'm talking to myself.
No, you're not. Thank you so much.
God bless and have a good evening. And
you too.
You take care, sweetheart.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that's so wonderful. I'm so glad that if I can be of service to someone. Yeah, my feeling is that within 48 hours or so, the boy is going to be much, 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 much better. I'm delighted to say. And we'll see if it happens. But with the other story, I think I was starting this gentleman with his daughter, his concern about his daughter, and his sister was on the golfing trip. She decided to go see a local psychic, and she went in to get a reading for herself, and the psychic, a gentleman, said, I see a male energy, and then he started telling her about her brother and the daughter. And she was kind of taken aback because he was so right on everything, but she was trying to figure out why he gave a reading on her brother and his daughter instead of her. And her brother was asking me, why? Because she really wanted a reading herself. And I said, because the need is there because of the family connection, because she cares about you and her niece. And that concern was read, and there was a way to get through to you to get the answer. So my friend is coming, we're getting together, and I will take him into a regression session because the psychic indicated that the issue between the father and daughter, and there's some headbutting there, is from a past lifetime. And he said, do you think I can access it? And I said, well, if this spirit or the angels or whatever, indicated to you that this was an issue that came from a past life, then obviously you, at least, if not your daughter, are ready to explore the issue and to set it aside so that it is no longer an issue. So knowledge and wisdom come about, and information comes about from the most unlikely sources, including readings that family members get when they have no intention of doing the readings with you, for you. And so, yeah, I think this is fabulous. I think Spirit has a great sense of humor to do this to us. There is just so much. There is so much in our lives for which we are thankful. There is so much that we can do to assist ourselves and to move forward. There is so much that I think if I were to study every day for the rest of my life, more than 8 hours a day, I don't think I'd begin to wade through it and still have a lot of time. I have to let you know, I have a passion for reading. I always have. My mom started reading to me because we didn't have TVs way back when. And she loved reading. She used to write poems. And I have always picked up a love of reading, and I read to my children, and I have my library surrounding me. I love my books. I just have a passion for them. Believe me, the internet and downloading will never take the place of a nice book in my hand that I can hold and cuddle and smell and just about eat. But I do love my books, and I love murder mysteries. I have a great passion for them. I loved Agatha Christie's, and I loved Updike, and I like J.J. Chance and Ivanovich, Caldwell Taylor. And by the way, speaking of Caldwell Taylor, did you know, she wrote The Dear and Glorious Physician, and she's been dead for some time now, I think. The books that she wrote were all dictated to her while she was in trance or at the typewriter. That all these books came to her sort of through automatic writing. And there was one book she had about Atlantis that was really a recall of her past life in Atlantis just before the floods came. I didn't realize that at the time, but I found it so, so fascinating to find that bestsellers that she wrote were dictated that way. And the other books that I read, Dorothy Sayers, you know, Amanda Cross, the guy who writes those horseback riding ones, Dick, I'll think of him at some point. I love these writers, I really do, and it just takes me away from the real world. But it's a chance to read, and then I interject in others. I put other books in there too, the spiritual books that I love reading, the ones on Edgar Cayce. I've read Henry Reed's books. He's a pretty wonderful writer. I've read a number of writers, Mark Thurston and Kimon Tedeschi, and a few others from the ARE. And I am so blessed to be able to have a show like this where I can have new authors come on board and sit and talk to them, as you found out lately on our shows, and people from all walks of life. I'm always learning something each and every day that I can share, and I love sharing with people. Sometimes I have a bit of a problem in that I try to share before people really want me to share, so I really, that's something I've been looking into and expanding my awareness on, is to make sure that I'm not providing information to people who really don't want that information, you know? People have to be ready. I think one of the things that made Christ such a wonderful teacher and so much a man of his draw, his charisma, was that he reached people where they were spiritually and emotionally. And he reached them on that level, each one individually, and helped them to come forward. And that was one of the unique gifts that the Christ had, that he was able to do this. And I also, by the way, like reading humor. So I guess I love books. Yes, good evening. May I help you?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the Higher Dimension. Welcome.
Yes, I'd like to know if my mother has any messages for me. She has
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Who are you?
My name is Elaine.
Elaine?
Yes.
And you want to know what, dear?
My mother had passed on 3 years ago. I'd like to know if she has any messages for me.
Your mother? Okay. Did you call before, Elaine?
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't. Okay. Your mom. Yes. Okay. Did she have... Did you have a question of some sort of sorrow or guilt around your mom's passing?
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Are you having a hard time hearing me?
All right. Can you repeat the question, please?
Okay. Was there some question of something that you felt sorry about in your mother's passing? Not just the natural sorry, but somehow that you could have done something more?
Yes.
Okay. You couldn't have. Okay. What I'm letting you know is that your mom is doing fine. All right. She loves you and she wants you to know there is no reason for you to keep going over the fact and blaming yourself for not having done something or done more. That this thought process that you have is muddying your thinking, okay?
Okay.
That it's not necessary. You were not guilty of anything. Your mom left when it was appropriate for her to leave, okay?
Okay.
With or without you, she would have chosen that time to go.
Oh, because I thought if I could have prevented it, if I had her treated for low thyroid,
No, see, she chose to go. There was nothing that you could have done.
Oh.
That was her choice.
Okay.
That choice was one of the windows. You see, when we come on this earth plane, we have several departure dates, let's put it that way. Okay?
Okay.
And depending on how we have progressed in our personal life,
mm-hmm.
we can use any one of those departure dates at different times of our lives, all right?
Okay.
Some people have a departure date when they're very young children, some in their mid-20s. Some won't come until later, but there are two or three departure dates, which are target dates when someone can choose, if they so desire, if they feel they've accomplished all that they wanted to accomplish during this lifetime, that they can choose to leave at those particular times. Your mama chose the one that was best for her, and what her accomplishments were at that time. So it's nothing that you did. It was already decided that was when she would leave.
I thought if I got her quicker medical attention, maybe that I could have prevented it?
No, no. Has nothing to do with you, darling. So you're stuck in the blame game for yourself. Her departure had nothing to do for you. It has nothing to do with you. It's what she chose to do. She chose to leave.
And why doesn't she come in my dreams?
She comes in your dreams?
I mean, why doesn't she come?
I think because you are blaming yourself. And she wants you to allow it. First of all, she is around you right now. Okay? She's frequently around you. But because you have held so close to the pain and suffering, she can't get through to you. Uh-huh. You know, she doesn't want to take a 2x4 and hit you over the head to get your attention.
She knows I'm grieving yet?
Yes, very much so. And she would like you, please, to release that grief because it's not helping you or her to move forward in life, darling.
She knows I'm...
If every time you think of your mother, if you can just say, Mom, I am sending you my love. Nothing else. Just say, Mom, I'm sending you my love. All right?
Okay.
She will be able to reach you. And she is around you. She's attempted to reach you, as I said, a number of times, not in your dreams so much, but in your waking time.
How?
Okay? She's right with you right now, and she's giving me the words to tell you. I'm not making them up. She's telling me what to tell you.
Thank you so much. It you're so accurate.
I mean,
it really has a ring of truth. What you said was so right.
Well, thank you, darling. And I'm hoping that this ring of truth finds a way to unlock the grief that you have closed into your heart, because this is a time of rejoicing for her and rejoicing for you. Because the two of you fulfilled your contract with each other with love and beauty, and she wants you to know that she still loves you. The love has not changed. It's just more so than it was before, because she's on a greater level of love and understanding.
And she
wants you to meet her on that level.
Okay, just tell her I send her my love and she'll...
All you have to do is just send her love. That's it. And at the same time, love yourself and forgive yourself for thinking that you should have done something else, because it wasn't up to you when she left, my love. It was up to her. It was her choice, not yours. Okay?
Okay, and can she hear me when I talk with her?
Yes, absolutely. She can hear you. And you, if you will stop whatever it is and say, Mom, I love you, and just stop, close your eyes and feel and wait, you might feel a breeze touching you. You might feel something brushing against your skin. That would be your mama talking to you. Okay?
Thank you so much, because I was depressed today, and I just kept thinking of her. I miss her so much. And
good. Well, darling, we have to go now. That was my cue to say goodnight.
Thank you. You lifted the burden. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey, and do this and then again, okay?
Okay,
Take care. Thank you all of you, for being with me tonight and to listen to me. Thank you all for your prayers and your thoughts, and I appreciate your calling me and having confidence to speak to me and share with me. That means a great deal to me. I am Phyllis Pryser. This is the Higher Dimension. You can reach me at area code 202-387-2080, or you can reach me through BBS Radio, or you can contact me at psychicworlds4@aol.com. I do respond. God bless you all. Good night, and I look forward to talking to you next weekend. Goodbye.
I took a walk outside.